What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
98.5 Sunshine FM, Dr. Carl Wieland is in great demand as a speaker on the scientific evidence for creation and its relevance to Christianity. He's lectured extensively in Australia and internationally and is Managing Director of Creation Ministries International. He's also authored numerous articles and co-authored several books. Although his formal qualifications are in medicine and surgery, he hasn't practiced in the medical profession since the mid-80s. Carl Wieland, welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you, Rodney. Good to be with you.
Let's start by looking at your basic beliefs on creation. Is it right that you believe that the biblical account of creation in Genesis is to be believed literally?
Well, we believe it's meant to be believed straightforwardly as history. I mean, there are parts in the Bible that are written not to be understood literally, like trees clapping their hands, and we're not wooden-headed literalists, but we just are garden variety Christians that believe exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and New Testament writers believed, which is that there was a real man and a real woman called Adam and Eve that were the first couple. There was a real fall into sin, which is the whole purpose of the gospel. So if you abandon that history in Genesis, you know, you're in big trouble.
Okay, and you also believe what they call the young earth theory, that the earth isn't millions of years old, as we're so often told.
Well, no, it's not a young earth theory. That's based upon that historical account in Genesis. I mean, the interesting thing is, Rodney, that all Hebrew professors at the leading universities like Oxford, Yale, Harvard and so on, even though they mostly don't believe Genesis to be true, but they'll tell you that that's exactly the only thing that the Hebrew can mean, that everything was created in six ordinary earth rotation days. You've got Adam created on that sixth day. He lives right through the seventh day. He's not even 1,000 years old when he dies. And then from then on, you've got the age of the father when his son was born, and you've got this sort of chain leading all the way down to Jesus Christ. So you can only have a universe that's thousands of years old.
So why is it so important? Why would you pour so many resources into trying to prove something that a lot of people, no matter what proof you come up with, are still not going to believe?
Well, first of all, we don't try to prove it because you can't prove things scientifically that are gone in the past. You know, you can't prove that Julius Caesar existed. You can't go back with a time machine and watch that happen. What you can show is that there's an enormous amount of evidence that's consistent with it. And the reason why it's so important is because the whole truth and authority of the Bible is at stake. I mean, what's the point of somebody asking me to trust the Bible about my eternal destiny, my salvation, and about faith and morality and all those things if I can't trust its history, if I can't trust it to get it right when it comes to, you know, geology, biology, which are real things, anthropology, the history of man. You know, if the Bible's wrong about that, then how can it be the word of the omnipotent, infallible God?
And yet many Christians would say that it's not really a great sticking point because it can be taken as just an allegory. But, of course, as you're saying, the language that it's written in is in a historical way, not in an allegorical way.
Exactly. And what's more, here's the thing. I mean, people say, well, don't worry about that. Just preach the gospel. But what is the gospel? What's the gospel about if it's not about sin and death and overcoming those things? And, you know, if you're wrong about, you know, what the first Adam did in messing things up in the first place, bringing sin into the world, how can you rely upon what Jesus Christ, whom the Bible calls the second Adam, did in overcoming that curse so that one day everything is going to be restored back to a sinless, deathless state? You see, if you put those millions of years into the Bible, no matter which of these theories, and it's not the young earth that's the theory, the young earth is the straightforward history account from the Bible. But if you go for all these other theories to try and sort of massage the Bible to make it fit your previous beliefs about millions of years, what you've just done, you've put fossils, because they're supposed to represent the millions of years, you've put them before Adam and Eve. Now, if you do that, you've then got Adam and Eve standing on this graveyard of dead bones, showing you diseases like cancer, showing you animals eating each other and all sorts of bad things like that. And so you've just turned Christianity upside down. You've put the curse before the fall. You've messed up the whole logic of the gospel, which is a good world ruined by sin to be restored in the future. pretty simple.
A lot of scientists would say that there is proof and, you know, some quite convincing proof that the Earth has been around a lot longer than that, and they talk about millions of years. If that's the case, that it is a young Earth, how are they coming up with these theories, and how are they coming up with what they consider to be proof?
Well, first of all, I think it would be really good if all students at school and university got lessons in the philosophy of science, what science is, how it works, what it can do, what it can't do. The sort of science you're talking about when you're talking about things in history, it's not the same sort of science that sends rockets to the moon. It's not based upon laws that you can test, measure, repeat, or observe. There's no experiment that you can do to prove once and for all, you know, that reptiles turned into birds or that reptiles and birds were created separately or whatever. You're dealing with historical science, like forensic science. And, you know, you can gather all these clues and put all these facts on the table, and no one argues with that. You see, many people don't realize that we have the same facts as an evolutionist does, and we don't argue about the facts. We have the same world, the same rocks, the same fossils, the same natural selection, the same mutations, the same radioactivity. But it's the interpretation. Facts don't speak for themselves. I mean, the brilliant minds of the past, like Sir Isaac Newton and those fathers of modern science, they saw the layers and the canyons the same as we see them, but they never saw the millions of years. It's a belief system that we interpret the evidence through that sees the millions of years. Now, let me tell you where the millions of years came from. Historically, it came from a philosophy imposed upon the evidence that said that everything in geology happens slowly and gradually. You know, you see a layer of sandstone in a cliff, and next to it there's a river depositing sediment at 1 millimeter per year. And if that sandstone cliff is, you know, 1 million millimeters thick, well, then you say, well, it must have been a million years, you know. Now, I'm oversimplifying, but that was the essence of that philosophy. It insisted that nature never had any catastrophes. And, of course, the Bible spends three whole chapters telling you about a massive globe-covering watery catastrophe, the flood of Noah, in which it took more than a year for Noah and his family to step foot on dry ground. I mean, it was an incredible event. And I sometimes say to people, if the Bible takes three whole chapters telling you about something, do you think it might just be important? And, of course, if there was such a flood, what would you expect? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the world. What do you find? Billions of dead things all over the world. And of course, those dead things show signs of death, disease, and suffering, because this happened after Adam sinned. And, you know, when you sort of look at the world through the glasses of the Bible, I often say to people, you know, let's take off the secularized, evolutionized glasses of our culture. And if you're not a Christian, do it for the sake of the exercise and just see what the world looks like with a different starting set of assumptions, and you'll find you'll have an amazing lot of facts that fit the Bible because you're interpreting them differently.
You're coming to Perth later this week. You're going to be at a number of meetings over quite a number of days, starting off in Kewdale on Friday evening. Then on Saturday, you're going to be in Stratton. And we've got a whole list of different places that you're going to be. And if people want to get some information about one of the places you're speaking, they can give us a call here at 98.5 Sunshine FM. So what are some of the things that you're going to be talking about once you're here?
To arm and equip Christians, not just with the sort of things I've been saying, which is why this is important for the Christian, but also, you know, why it's powerful for evangelism. Because, you know, if you can wake people up to the fact that the Bible connects to the real world, to real history and so on, it gives you more of a confidence, more of a solid foundation for your faith, gives you more boldness, and it means you can answer questions and objections. Look, a lot of people have given up asking Christians questions like, well, where did Cain get his wife, you know? What about the dinosaurs? How can they possibly fit in the Bible? And, you know, what about all those animals on the ark? And where did the water come from? And what about all the different so-called races and so on? And, you know, there are just such easy, powerful, solid answers to all of these things. And we find, I've just come back from India, and I found the same questions being asked there by scientists and non-scientists alike. And pastors are sort of being flamfloozled by them. And they're sort of saying things like, well, yeah, don't worry about that, and it'll destroy your faith and so on. And unfortunately, that gives people the impression that Christianity has no answers, that it's not based on real history, but it is, and there are answers. And so our job, if you like, is to arm and equip believers and help them to reach the people around them. The bottom line is, you know, we obviously are very keen for non-Christians to come along as well, but, you know, you've got such a powerful grip of this philosophy on our society. And I'm not saying it's some, you know, deliberate brainwashing or anything like that. It's just this blindness, if you like, that people say, oh, what's the point of going there? There's just some idea that can't be right because I read differently in the papers all the time. But they might think differently about the Christian living next door to them, whom they know to be a sensible person and to be a loving person and, I hope, a kind person who's treated them well and has been relating to them and praying for them. And that's, I guess, what every Christian knows of is, you know, one-on-one relationship evangelism. Then that Christian has got the capacity to not only answer questions if they come up, but let me say this, to scratch the surface and say to someone, well, why wouldn't you accept this incredible offer? I mean, it's too good to be true. Eternal life for free, you know? Then you'll often find that there's vague objections about, well, it can't be true, and, you know, it's okay for you, but, you know, it's not really real, is it, mate, you know? People don't often come up with sophisticated scientific objections, but in the back of their mind there's that belief that science has somehow disproved the Bible. And if you're confident about that, you don't have to be an expert. At least you know that there are answers, and you know where to point people to. That's what we're about. We're the information ministry that helps the church, and in so doing, from the testimonies we get, helps a lot of people to, a completely changed life and eternal life in Christ Jesus.
And you'll be open to answering questions when you're here in Perth?
Absolutely. If we're at a church service, for instance, if I'm doing a church service on behalf of the local church on a Sunday morning, well then, that's up to the local church whether they want to have a question time in their service. Might not fit the agenda, but I'm there for questions afterwards. And public meetings, generally, there's an open forum question time.
Okay, that sounds great. So even if people are sceptical, even if they don't want to believe that this can be the case because they've heard so much supposed evidence to the contrary, you're going to be open to talking about those things, and I guess even to chatting to people after the meetings and the services to be able to have a bit of one-on-one time and talk about the things that really do affect their lives.
Sure.
The website is a good place to go if people want to find out a little bit more about where you're speaking, quite a range of places over a week or so. creationontheweb.com is the place to go, www.creationontheweb.com, and then go to events and you'll be able to see all the places that Dr. Carl Wieland will be speaking. Carl, it's been great chatting to you. Thank you for the work that you do, and thanks for your time.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.